Tonight I want to begin with a thought that all of us know to be true, that every one of us are familiar with and aware of. And the thought is this, is that every person in this life wants something. Every person in this life, every person in this world, every being who exists today, they want something. It doesn't matter how young the person is. It doesn't matter how old the person is. The wants are going to vary. The wants will be different from person to person. But I promise you, everybody wants something. Would you agree with that? All right. That being said, I'd like to illustrate that just a couple of different ways. A young person may want to go to college whenever they graduate high school. Somebody may decide, you know, college isn't for me. I just want to get out into the workforce and I want to start my career and I want to start my journey to the top, whatever it may be. But that's what I want to do. Someone may say, you know, as I go through life, I want to have certain experiences. I want to have the freedom to be able to do certain things, the ability to be able to do certain things. That is what I want to do with my life. And if we were to go around the room this evening and say, okay, what do you want, and what do you want, and what do you want, and what do you want, every one of us would have to stand up, and we'd have to, if we were honest, and we'd have to say, well, you know, I'd like to have this, or I would want this, and on and on and on it could go. That being said, I want us to think about another simple truth, and I hope this isn't too elementary for us. I hope I don't bore us with this, but I'd like us to think about this truth, this thought, this idea, that if a person wants something in life, then whether or not they will obtain it has much to do with their choices and their actions in life. If you and I want something in life, something that will affect that, something that will have a bearing on that, are the choices that we make in life and the actions that we partake of in this life. See, if a young person wants to go to college whenever they graduate from high school, that's a good want. That might be a noble want. That might be a want that is expected of them by their parents or whatever it may be. But if that child says, you know, that's what I want to do whenever I graduate, I want to go to college whenever I'm done with high school, that's good. But you need to make certain choices that will help you get there, because if you make poor choices in life, it's not going to help you get to where you say you want to go. If a person says, well, I want to bypass college, I want to begin my career, my profession, whatever it may be. Okay, well, if that's what you want to do, then you have to put forth certain actions and you have to make certain choices to get you where you want to be. If someone wants the experiences, if someone wants the liberty to be able to do this or to do this or whatever it may be that is important to them, then they have to make certain choices as they go through life, because if they are not willing to make certain choices, then all they want is want. Or if they're not willing to make certain choices, then all they have is wants. Is that true? It's true, and I trust that most of us understand that. Now, this evening, I've already told you that we're going to begin doing this mini-series out of the first chapter of Psalms. It's a powerful chapter. It's one that many of us are familiar with. And we notice that the chapter begins and the Psalms begin with this word, blessed. Blessed. What does it mean when the Scripture uses the word blessed or blessed? Well, it means to be happy. It means to be joyful. It means to experience a bliss of sorts, or to know, according to the context of Scripture, to know the favor of God in your life. So when the Scripture speaks of a person being blessed, or a nation being blessed, a family being blessed, here's what it means. It means for that person or that family or that nation to experience joy, to experience happiness, to know the favor of God. And tonight, I'd like to ask you, How many people do we think want to be blessed in this life? Well, everyone wants to be blessed, do they not? Everyone that you and I know, if we were to go to them and say, would you like to be happy? What is their answer going to be? Well, of course I'd like to be happy. Who would not like to be happy? If you were to go to someone and say, would you like to know true joy? They would say, well, of course I would like to know true joy. If you went to someone who was relatively religious at all and you said to them, would you like to know the favor of God in your life? Well, what are they going to say? Well, of course they're going to say, yes, I would like that. I want to know the favor of God in my life. Now, those are good things to want, are they not? To want joy, to want happiness, to want the favor of God, to want to experience this bliss, so to speak. Okay, so if a person wants joy and happiness and the favor of God, then let me ask us, does it not have something to do as to whether or not we obtain it with our choices and with our actions? Well, of course it does. I know that most of us know this, but this seems to be lost on many people in our world today. I think some people are of the mindset that God is up in heaven and he just randomly picks and decides and chooses who will and will not be blessed. That somehow this person is just lucky that they are blessed, and this family is just lucky that they are blessed. And so in their mind, they don't want to make any kind of connection between their choices and their actions and whether or not they experience and know the blessings of God in their life. But I think we could read throughout the Scripture and we could come to this conclusion that if we want to enjoy a blessed life, if we want to enjoy joy, if we want to enjoy happiness, if we want to enjoy the favor of God in our life, then we must admit this. It has a whole lot to do with choices we make and actions we partake of. This person is not blessed because they're lucky. This person is not blessed because God likes them better than he likes me. No, this person or this family or whatever it may be is blessed more times than not because of the choices and the actions they make and partake in. It's very simple. Now, as we enter into this study, I want to remind us of something. Again, we're all familiar with this. But blessings, or to be blessed, is not necessarily what the world would always identify as being blessed. Well, how do you know a person is blessed today? Well, they've got a lot of money. Well, I beg to disagree with that. Some people's biggest downfall in life is their money. That's their biggest stumbling block. That is their biggest struggle in life. That is what hinders them the most. So we cannot say, well, you know, they've got money, therefore they're blessed, and this person doesn't have money, therefore they are not blessed. No, that's not an indication of it at all. Somebody will say, well, they've got a good job, so therefore they are blessed. Now, can a good job be a blessing? Of course it can, but many times what is considered to be a good job, which is a blessing, that good job could be the very thing that is hindering that person in their spiritual life and in their spiritual development and truly knowing the blessings of God in their life. And you could continue on with these thoughts and with these ideas. What the world says is an indication of being blessed. Those are not always indicators of true blessings in a person's life. They can be blessings. They can be things that help provide the joy and the happiness, and they could be reflectors of the favor of God in their life. But just because a person, from a world's perspective, seems to be doing well does not mean that they are more blessed than someone who does not seem to be doing well in said areas of life. Do we agree with that, or are we just kind of, no, that's not true? I mean, think about this. There are people that we know who are, quote unquote, more blessed than us, and we would not trade places with them. Because of everything they are dealing with in their personal lives. I would not trade my set of issues for their set of issues for anything. So don't look at me and say, well, you're not blessed because you don't have their circumstance. No, I am blessed because I don't have their circumstance or their problems or their issues, okay? So when the scripture says that a person is blessed, we've always got to remember that he's not talking about money, because truth be told, God's not near as worried about money as we are. And whenever he talks about a person being blessed, he's not talking about possessions. He's not talking about position. He is not talking about experiences. That is not what God is talking about. He is talking about when you and I, as God's people, we know what it means to have joy in spite of the circumstances, to have a sense of gladness or happiness in spite of the circumstances, to know that we are in a right standing with God and that we are still in good favor with God. That is where the blessings of life are found. So notice what he says in verse number 1. He says, blessed is the man. As we continue to look in verse number 1, and we'll look at some more verses throughout the next couple of weeks, here's what we'll find, is that it does not say, never says, never will say, that blessed is the man who got lucky. It is, blessed is the man who makes some choices in life. Blessed is the man who decides, you know, okay, this is a choice I've got to make, and based upon the choice that I need to make, certain actions must now be in place. Okay, so if I want to be blessed, if I want to have joy, if I want to have gladness and happiness and to know the favor of God, then as I go through life, I've got to make some choices and execute some action based upon the choices I make. And so notice what he says first of all. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. If a person wants to experience the blessings of God in their life, you know what a choice is that they will be forced to make? To not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. What does this mean, to walk in the counsel of the ungodly? Well, the ungodly are those who do not consider God, as we talked about in our Sunday school class this morning. The ungodly is the one who does not consider God in their thoughts or their actions. The ungodly, the wicked, the evil, here's what they do. They go through life without consideration to God or for God in any area of their life. So here's what happens in their own personal life. Their rules and their standards is what dictates to them how they will live. But God is not the one dictating to them or influencing how they're going to live, how they're going to navigate through life. And so as they go through life, and I do not mean to just labor the same issues and beat the same old horses, okay? That's not what I'm trying to do. But as you look at this world, here's what we need to be mindful of, is that there are people and they handle their families from a total secular way of thinking. I'm just going to pause right here, okay? I was asked to speak at the Macedonia Baptist Church today, okay, at an afternoon function. They were really awake at 3:30 in the afternoon, okay? So I'm not asking for amens and yes, sir, brothers, and all that other stuff, but can we at least like nod our heads and smile at some of this? It would sure help out just a little bit, okay? There are people who handle their marriages and their families from a completely secular point of view. the Word of God does not dictate or influence how they handle their families. It has no impact or bearing. The Word of God or the principles of God, it has no bearing on their priorities. What matters to them, what is important to them. Let's listen. I mean, they handle their families from a secular standpoint. They handle their priorities from a secular standpoint. They handle their finances from a secular standpoint. Everything they do is handled from a standpoint that is void of the influence of God in their life. Now, whenever the Scripture says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly," here is what counsel is talking about. It is talking about the advice or the opinions or the philosophies of the ungodly. Now see, if I want to enjoy a blessed life, if you want to enjoy a blessed life, then here is what the Scripture reminds us of, that you and I cannot begin listening to the advice and the counsel and the opinions and the philosophies of a secular-minded world. You can't do it. See, if I want to enjoy a blessed life, then when the world tells me this is what my marriage is supposed to look like, I cannot walk according to what the world tells me my marriage is supposed to look like. If I want to be blessed, then I have to have a marriage that has not taken on the philosophy and the mindset and the opinions and the counsel of this world. If I want a family that is blessed, then I cannot take modern psychology and how it tells me to raise my children and begin adopting that and expecting me to enjoy a blessed family. It's impossible. And if I want to enjoy a blessed life, then I cannot listen to a secular-minded so-called theologian or a secular-minded religious leader, so-called. I cannot afford to listen to them. The only way that I can enjoy a blessed life is if I make the choice to ignore the counsel and the opinion and the philosophy of a secular world. Does that not seem basic? It's very basic. But do we not see how the secular mindset is permeating the churches and so-called believers these days? There are times, not that you're gravely concerned about this, but there are times I just want to scream. Because how people are handling their lives, it is not according to the truth of God's Word. The decisions they're making and the direction they're headed and the things that they're now partaking of by way of actions, which are the result of their choices, that has not been influenced by the truth of God's Word. It has been influenced by a secular society that wants nothing to do with God in their thoughts and their actions. So you talk to them and you listen to them and you listen as they explain their positions and you say things like this, well friend, that's not scriptural. That's not what the Bible teaches. I mean, that's not what you would find in the Word of God. And they just kind of look at you like, and? Well, I mean, do you want things to turn around? Do you want things to get better? Are you happy where you're at right now? Well, no. Okay, well, then you need to turn some things around. You need to change some things. You need to make some better choices. You have got to change your actions if you want a different result. And again, they look at you like, well, I don't understand exactly what you're saying. Here is the problem. So many people sitting in churches, they are walking in the counsel of the ungodly. They live and they think and they function and they operate and they do just like the world tells them to do. And then they look at somebody who is truly blessed and they say, well, they're just lucky. They just have good kids. Well, they just got a better job. You know, they just got a better wife, or they just got a better husband. As if it has nothing to do with choices. No, friend, it has everything to do with choices. If I want something, then it will require something of me by way of my choices and my actions. I cannot just sit back on my backside and expect God to just arrange everything for me while I live a secular-minded way of life. So if I want to be blessed, the first thing I cannot do is walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Now here's a catch to this. We've mentioned this before. How do we know when we're getting bad counsel? There's only one way we can know if we're getting bad counsel, and that's if we know the truth. Amen. You've heard the illustration before, have you not? How do bankers identify counterfeit money? Have you heard this before? Maybe you haven't. I don't know. You know how Susie was taught to identify counterfeit money whenever she was working at the bank? Work with the real stuff all the time. When you work with the real stuff, when you work with that which is true, that which is what it's supposed to be, when you know what is right, it is much easier to identify the wrong, whatever form it comes in. Now, The principle is so simple, and yet so many times God's people are going, whoa. It's not that profound. How do I recognize the counsel of the ungodly? By having a working understanding of the truth of God's Word. I know. Here I am, same subject, same thoughts. Get a new idea, Brother Kyle. We're getting tired of this. It is disturbing when you hear people say things as though they have the authority of the Scripture behind them, and you're saying to yourself, what makes you think that's Bible? What makes you think that's Bible? Well, I don't know. I mean, is it not? No. No, it's not Bible. I mean, sometimes I want to scream. Sometimes I just want to cry. I'm being sincere whenever I say this. Sometimes I am amazed at what some people think the Scripture teaches. And then it dawns on me, no wonder. No wonder the situation is as it is. We don't really have a working knowledge of the Word of God anymore. How do you get a working knowledge of the Word of God? You get in it, and you study it, and you stay in it, and you keep on studying it. I'm here as a facilitator, a helper, an encourager, a corrector along the way from time to time. I am here to be a help in your spiritual life. But I am not here to raise anyone spiritually. I am not here to raise anyone spiritually. In order for you to be able to enjoy a blessed life, in order for me to be able to enjoy a blessed life, I must not take on a secular mindset, and it is not your responsibility to keep me from doing that. And it is not my responsibility to keep you from doing that. And the only way that you know the truth of God's Word so that you can identify the secular thoughts and the secular philosophies of this world is when you truly know the Word of God. So see, if you're not a student of God's Word, if you are not a pupil of what the Word of God is teaching, I promise you, you will fall for lies, and then you'll sit around and say, why aren't I blessed? Because you got to make some choices. There has to be some actions. And you cannot walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Notice what else he says. Blessed is the man that not only walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor standeth in the way of sinners. What does it mean to sin? Well, it means to miss the mark. Somebody might say, well, are we not all sinners? Well, of course we're all sinners. We don't need to spend time illustrating that, do we? Okay, we're all sinners. Every one of us are sinners. So someone may say, well, then what does it mean if it says that we don't stand in the way of sinners? Well, let's think about this for just a moment. The way of life of a sinner. Okay, this is the direction of life they have taken for themselves. Most people don't mind admitting that they are a sinner. Okay? Most people will admit, yeah, I do things that are wrong from time to time. Yes, I've said some things, done some things, you know, partaken of some things that I'm not too proud of. Yes, I'm a sinner. We all will allow for that. Now, there's a difference between being a sinner with a conscience and a sinner with no conscience. Does this make sense? See, there are people out there and they'll say, yeah, I lie. Well, does it bother you? No. So it doesn't bother you when you lie? No, not really. It doesn't bother you when you cheat? Well, no. I mean, depending on the circumstances, no. I mean, does it bother you when those words come out of your mouth? Well, I mean, sometimes I feel bad, but no. I mean, it's not like I'm sitting around going, oh, this is terrible. I can't believe I did it. We realize, don't we, that there are people out there and they are seemingly void of a conscience. They have no problem in living a life of sin. Now, I don't need to begin adopting the counsel of the ungodly in my life, and I don't need to stand or to find myself in the position or the direction of the sinner, the one who will live in sin with no guilt and no remorse. Now, I keep asking this question, why is that important? Because there are people out there who have no remorse, and they are around us. They are living in sin, and it absolutely does not disturb them. And so they can live in sin here, they live in sin here, they live in sin here, wherever it may be, and it does not bother them. Now, I'm telling you, again, if we are not careful, if that is who we allow ourselves to associate with, if that is who we allow ourselves to identify with, you know what it'll begin doing? It'll begin corrupting our thought process and our pattern, and you and I will soon be losing a sensitivity to the sin in our life that we need to be greatly aware of. See, if I want to be blessed in this life, I need to have a sensitivity to the conviction of the Holy Spirit in my life. So that if I do something I'm not supposed to do, and the Holy Spirit says, Kyle, that was wrong and that was sin, then I need to live in such a way that I would say, you're right, God, rather than justifying it. You're right, God, that was sin in my life, and I want to repent and make it right now. I can't afford to get comfortable with sin. So I've done something I shouldn't have done. I need to repent and make it right now. I say something that I shouldn't have said. I don't need to get comfortable with it and make excuses for it and make allowances for it. No, I need to stay sensitive. But I promise you, the longer we take the direction of people who have no sensitivity to sin in their life, it is just a matter of time, and we will lose sensitivity to sin in our life. And when we lose sensitivity to sin in our life, I know that you know this as well as I do, but we begin grieving the Holy Spirit. And when we quench the conviction of the Holy Spirit in our life and we grieve Him, guess what we are doing? We are making the choice to turn the tap off of knowing the blessings of God in our life. Well, God, yeah, I mean, I know that was wrong, but, you know, I'm really not that worried about it. Okay, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. Okay, God, yeah, well, you know, I probably shouldn't have said that, but But I was upset. Well, okay, rather than repent, let's just go ahead and grieve the Holy Spirit, and let's just keep making that choice over and over and over again. And pretty soon we're going to be very unhappy, very unjoyful, very miserable people to be around, and we're going to say, well, I'm just not blessed like other people are. You're right, you're not. But it's not their fault, and it's not God's fault. You know what we've got to do? We've got to take inventory of people in our life. We're not going to get away from the sinner who has no remorse. They are everywhere. And I'm going to say more about this in just a minute about the scorner, okay? We cannot get away from them because they are everywhere, but I do not have to stand in the way or begin to adopt and to practice their way of thinking in my life. And so if I've got a coworker and he can sin or she can sin without any remorse or any guilt, I can look at them and I can pity them, but I don't need to have any fellowship with them. How are you ever going to win them? Just be salt and just be light and let God work out those details. But they do not need to have influence in my life. End of discussion. Someone says, well, I don't let them have influence in my life. That just means you're not aware of the influence you're letting them have in your life, because we all have influence on the lives of people that we are rubbing shoulders with. And if we're letting the negative influences into our life, as much as we want to say, well, we're influencing them for good, the problem is this: they are also influencing us for bad. It's that simple. So if I want to be blessed, what do I have to do? I've got to make the choice to remove myself from the way of sinners. This person lives in sin. Man, I love them because we've been friends forever, but I want to be blessed more than I want to be their friend. Man, I love them. Wish they weren't my family, because this is going to be hard. I'll see them at Thanksgiving, and I'll see them at Christmas. And, yeah, I mean, it's not like I'm just going to banish them and have nothing to do with them. But, I mean, we're not getting close. Because why would I want to be close to someone who would take me away from the blessings of God in my life? I'm not going to go to happy hour at Sonic with these people after work. You thought I was going to say happy hour somewhere else. I'm not going to go to happy hour at Sonic after work with these people and drink my Route 44 slushy, because they don't have any remorse for sin. We're going to protect the kids that have influence in the life of our children, because if these kids are growing up in an environment where sin is no big deal, well, I don't want my kids to start associating with that on a real regular basis and getting comfortable with it. Got to make some choices. We got to follow through with certain actions if we really want to know the blessings of God in our life. But the final thing, and you can see this in verse number 1, is this: blessed is the man that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. That sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. What does it mean to sit somewhere? Well, it means to locate yourself or to situate yourself somewhere. Every one of you seated yourself tonight, right? You located yourself and you have situated yourself right where you are sitting. He says the scorners have seats out there. Well, what is a scorner? A scorner is a mocker. I wonder what the scorners scorn and the mockers mock. Well, since it's in the Word of God, I'm just assuming that he's talking about they scorn the Word of God and they mock the Word of God. They laugh at it. Listen now, they make light of the Word of God. Oh, yeah, Bible says that. That's a good one. Oh, yeah, what else does the Bible have to say? Oh, yeah, I bet if we did that, yeah, we'd really be happy. Well, I guess you'd never know, bozo, because you're not doing it, right? Okay, you're scorning it, you're mocking it, you're laughing at it. You have no use for it. Okay, there are scorners out there, just like there are sinners out there, and we cannot fully remove ourselves from them. But you don't have to locate yourself and situate yourself in their seat. You don't have to get comfortable where the scorners are at. See, here's what happens. A scorner scorns. The mocker mocks. They make light of the truth of God's word. You know what happens in the lives of many people? When things aren't exactly going well for them like they want it to go or they would wish it would go, if they have seated themselves in the seat of the scorner, if they have located themselves in the seat of the scorner and someone's laughing and someone's mocking and someone's ridicule and making light of, you know what it's very easy for that scorner to then do in the life of the person who's trying to be blessed? It's very easy for that scorner to begin placing doubt in the heart and the mind of the one who is trying to do what is right. Why am I doing this? What benefit is there to this? God, you said, and God, it's not happening the way you said. I wonder if that person who has been, you know, kind of poking fun at me and laughing at me, I wonder if there's more truth to that than what I've been willing to admit in times past. Do you see how it's dangerous to situate yourself in the seat of the scorner? Because if you listen to the scorner, if you begin listening to the mocker, if you begin listening to the one who makes light of the Word of God, it'll rub off on you. And a person will begin finding themselves questioning and doubting the truth of God's Word that they once had established in their heart as absolute, undeniable, unchanging truth. And again, here's what's frustrating. Sometimes those scoffers, those scorners, those mockers are people that we like, people that we enjoy, and people that we love and care about. Sometimes it's the guy at work who's got the great personality, who's always making people laugh. And while they've got this great, charming personality, they're also the ones who like to make fun of the Word of God. Sometimes it's that family member that we're just close to and we just like them, and there's just something about them that draws us to them. And yet, if we're honest, we know that they don't really have a respect and a reverence for the Word of God. And it can be so difficult to not situate ourselves in their presence and to allow them to have influence in our life. But friends, if we want to be blessed, then what do we have to do? We have to make some choices. We have to. And based on those choices, we have to execute some actions. And so this evening, just one last time, just to kind of summarize this and to boil it down and say, well, why didn't you just say that a long time ago and let us leave kind of a format, okay? How many of us want to be blessed? We want to be blessed. I want to be happy. I want to know joy. I want to know gladness. I want to know the favor of God. Okay, who doesn't want that? We all want that. Okay, now we've got some choices to make. Who will we identify with? Who will we associate with? Who will have influence in our life? If it's the one who has a secular mindset, just know the blessings will soon be cut off in our life, because you will begin adopting secular ways of thinking in your life. If it's the person who, you know, sins without remorse or guilt, if that's who you identify with, just know that the blessings will soon be slowing down and they'll soon be stopping for this very reason. They're going to rub off on you and it'll affect your sensitivity to the things of God. And if you choose to identify with the scorner, the mocker, the laugher, the one who makes light of, just know, give it some time, and the tap will be turned off by way of God's favor, God's blessings, God's goodness, you having joy in spite of the circumstances, because here's what will happen. You will begin to question the Word of God that once had authority in your life. We have to make choices. We have to make choices on a regular basis. We have to make choices on a daily basis. And sometimes the choices we have to make are not easy. But do you want to be blessed? If you want to be blessed, then you have to want to be blessed more than you want to associate with the people who would keep you from knowing God's blessing. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Who has influence in our lives? Let's all stand tonight and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you would bless now this message, God, that you'd use it to speak to our hearts. Lord, for us to pretend that every one of us in here this evening have the right friends, the right influences in our lives, that would just be silly to